everybody's got a handout, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Gospel of John, chapter number 3. This will be a gospel as recorded by John sermon tonight. So if you find John, you got it made. We're going to be there for, I think for the entire sermon. So John chapter 3. Verse number 16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, as I preach this sermon on why the Father sent the Son, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to remember these points, help us to appreciate these reasons and to apply them to our life, because, Lord, we know that you also want us to live our lives in this world the way the Lord Jesus did. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, real simple tonight. I want to talk about witnessing this evening, about our speaking on behalf of the Lord. It may be a little bit different from the way you've heard it before. I want to talk about why the Father sent the Son into the world. God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. And I want to show you six declarative statements in the Bible as to why the Father sent the Son into the world. And this will not take long. And then I'll follow up with about 10 minutes on witnessing. And that will be that. That's all I got for you this New Year's Eve. But I pray that God will use this in our lives as we prepare for a new year, hopefully with a desire to follow the Lord and to live a life that is pleasing to him. So I pray that God will help you to listen real carefully now. First of all, in John chapter 3, verse 17, the Father sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ did not come to condemn the world. The Bible says there in verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man, woman, boy, or girl is born with a sin nature. Every man, woman, boy, or girl who reaches that point where they willfully sin against the word and the ways of God, Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn it. It was already condemned. The Father sent the Son into the world because it was condemned. He did not want it to be condemned. He was not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. It was his will that all should be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so the Father sent the Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. The first reason the Father sent the Son is that the world might be saved. John chapter 3, verse number 34 is next. John 3:34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So the second reason from this verse, the second reason the Father sent the Son into the world was to speak the words of God. Not his own feelings, not his own opinions, not his own ideas, not his own viewpoints, not his particular slant on what God said. The reason Jesus Christ came into this world, he spoke the words of God. He revealed the truths of God. He set forth the will of God. He said what his Father wanted him to say. He spoke what his Father wanted men and women to hear. The Father sent the Son into the world to speak the words of God. To speak the words of God. Number three, look at John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. And we read here in verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." Okay, before I read a little bit more here, do you see here that what his disciples are praying here? It's not them asking for something for themselves, but they're asking something for the Lord. You see that? How about that? God, what can I give you? God, what can I do for you? God, is there anything you'd like from me? They prayed him, and their petition was not, "God, give us something," but, "God, can we give you something?" That's a different kind of praying, isn't it? We ought to try that sometime. All right, verse 32. "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." The third reason that the Father sent the Son into the world was to do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father. Think about this. Back in the garden there, God made this man, the first Adam, formed and fashioned him out of the dust of the ground, breathed into that man the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And what God desired was that Adam perform God's will. God said, "Here's all the animals. I want you to name them." Adam named all the animals. God said, "Here's a garden. I want you to till it." Adam went to work tilling the garden. God said, "Would you be fruitful and multiply?" Adam said, "Well, I'd be glad to, but I haven't seen anything yet that appeals to me." And so God put him to sleep, brought him the woman, and everything was going along just fine. He was doing God's will. It was paradise. God said, "Now there's something else. Don't eat that tree." And when Adam violated God's will, that was the end of paradise. And from that day until the babe was born at Bethlehem, nobody did the will of God. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man sought to be his own master. Every individual sought to guide and to direct his own life to some extent and to some degree. And when the Father sent the Son into the world, he said, "I want you to go as the last Adam." As the last Adam. "I want you to go as the one who will perform and who will fulfill my will in every detail." That's why the Father sent the Son. As Jesus approached the cross, he knelt in the garden at Gethsemane, and he had a cross to bear. Before he ever picked up those beams of wood, he knelt in the garden, and he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus Christ was sent into this world by his Father to do the Father's will. As a son, he learned obedience. As a servant, the Bible says he was made perfect when he was called upon to submit his will to the will of the Father. And he's the only person who ever set foot on planet Earth who never failed one time to subject his will to the Father's will. The Father sent the Son into the world to save the world, to speak the words of God, and to do the will of God. All right, look in John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5:24. Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Verse 23, back up to verse 23, "That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." Why did the Father send the Son into the world? According to these verses here, that you might have eternal life through him. That you might have eternal life through him. Jesus didn't come to improve our condition. Jesus didn't come to give us some blessings. Jesus didn't come to help us over the rough spots and the bumps along life's highways. He came that we might have eternal life. Listen, man could never get to God. Okay? How would you do it? How would you do it? You don't know where he is. You don't know how to find him. You don't know what to do. I mean, let's just face it. We could talk about it all night and couldn't put it into terms. Man can't find God. In the garden, where's the man? He falls into sin. What does he do? He starts pulling fig leaves off of trees, tries to sew a garment together. He's not looking for God. He's not looking for forgiveness. He's not looking for a way to get right. But what happens? Here comes God looking for him. And it's been that way ever since. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did the Father send the Son? So that through him, through faith in his name, through belief in his finished work, we might have eternal life. Eternal life. By the way, that's the only kind of life he has to give. Jesus doesn't give temporary life that you might lose tomorrow, because he doesn't have that kind of life. He doesn't give conditional life that you might let slip through your hand, because he doesn't have that kind of life. He can only give what he has to give. And the kind of life he has is eternal life. And that's what he gives to those that believe him. He says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, present possession, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. You know what that means? That means the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his word, you will never come into condemnation from that moment forward. Never, never, never. Because you have passed from death unto life. That's why the Father sent the Son, that we might have that. Now, look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse number 14. John 7, 14 says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never gone to seminary? I mean, that's basically what it says, having never learned. I mean, Jesus, where did you go to school? Jesus, where did you get your degree? Jesus, who did you study under? You know, that's the question today. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Why did the Father send the Son? Because there was all kinds of religion going on. There was all kinds of traditions being taught. There were all sorts of doctrines being floated out there as truth. The Father sent the Son and he said, Son, would you go down there and get those people back to my doctrine, my truth, my revelation, my word? The Father sent the Son into the world to declare the doctrine of God. Not the doctrine of man, not the doctrine of denominations, not the doctrine of private interpretation. The doctrine of God is what Jesus held up. That's why the Father sent the Son. And then in John chapter 9, John chapter number 9, in verse number 4, John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Father sent the Son into the world to work the works of God. Listen, people are blind because of sin, not because of that's what God wants. And so when Jesus came, he gave sight to the blind. People are lepers because of sin. Well, that's not what God wants. So when Jesus came, he cleansed those lepers. And listen, when all these miracles that Jesus wrought, all these wonders that he performed, what he was doing the works of God. He was performing the deeds that God would perform. You know what really floored him, though, when Jesus stood in that temple? He said, "And the poor have the gospel preached to them." That's in Matthew 11:5 and Luke 7:22. You find those words. You know what amazes me about these men standing up and saying, we're apostolic. We got the gifts. We can do the works that Jesus did. Blah, 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 blah. They talk about the sight to the blind. They talk about the healing of our bodies. They talk about restoring the sick. And they never make one mention of the real key note of Jesus' message, preaching the gospel to the poor. Isn't that something? Why don't you stand up and say, I'm an apostolic minister with the apostolic power, and the proof is I don't want any money from any of you. All I want is for the poor people to come and hear the word of God. It's all in the same verses. Jesus said, I came to work the works of him that sent me. So now listen, six reasons there why the Father sent the Son. To save the world. How? By speaking the words of God. By doing the will of God. That those who heard him might have eternal life. It's interesting. The word without the obedience, declaring the word without the performing of his will, that was not sufficient. It required both. So that when they heard him declare the doctrine of God and they saw him work the works of God, they would believe on him and receive everlasting life. That's why the Father sent the Son. You say, well, what does that have to do with witnessing? I thought this was going to be a message on witnessing. All right, let me show you. John chapter 17, verse number 18. John chapter 17, verse 18. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me. If you read the whole chapter, he's praying for those that believe the gospel that was preached and recorded by the apostles. Listen, John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Okay, now watch it. Neither pray I for these alone. That's the apostles, not just for the apostles there in that upper room, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That Jesus you believed on, didn't you learn about him from Matthew? Didn't you learn about him from Mark? Didn't you learn about him from John? Aren't you a believer on their word? Now, what did Jesus say? As the Father sent me into the world, in that same way, I will send my disciples into the world. When you leave this building tonight, and you go out into that world, do you know the reason why we're still living? Do you know why we're still breathing? Do you know why we're still on planet Earth and not caught up to God in heaven right now? So that we can save the world by speaking the words of God and doing the will of God, declaring the doctrine of God, working the works of God, that God might give men eternal life. We are here, we are sent into the world by Jesus in the same way, for the same reason, to fulfill the same purpose that the Father sent Jesus into the world. See, it's wonderful to hear about how the Father sent Jesus, and boy, look at all that he did. Isn't that great? But then Jesus shifts the responsibility. He says, I'm leaving you to take my place while I'm gone. Verse number 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay. These things we've been talking about tonight, about the Father sending the Son, how do you expect anybody to believe that? Verse 21, look at it. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Isn't that true? Aren't you saved, born again? Aren't you put in the body of Christ? Aren't you joined to God, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh? All right, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Our manifest union to God, our visible union one to another, gets the attention of this world. They see you and I doing the will of God, just as Jesus did the will of God. They hear you and I speaking the truth of God, just as Jesus did. They behold our works as we seek the lost and seek to be a blessing to those that are out of the way, just as Jesus did. And Jesus prayed to his Father, and the Bible declares that Jesus was able to draw men unto himself because he was sent by the Father. And if we will allow God's will to be done in our lives and be sent by the Father in the same way Jesus was sent by the Father, that we too can draw men to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You didn't know you had that in you, did you? John chapter 20, verse 21. But wait, before we read it, let's go over this again real quick. Keep it fresh in your mind here. Jesus Christ was sent into the world not to condemn the world. That's what so much so-called witnessing is today, condemning lost people for the sins they've committed. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus Christ, might be saved. Our object is not to condemn lost people. It is to get them to Jesus so that he can save them. Secondly, he was sent to speak the words of God. We ought to know this Bible. We ought to use this Bible. We ought to witness to people. We talk to people. We ought to show them the scriptures. Well, I just think, well, my church believes. Well, Brother Bob said, show them the scripture. Now, show them God's word. Give them God's word. Number three, to do the will of God. Make sure your life matches your testimony. Make sure you are living the kind of life the world expects a Christian to be living. Number four, it's eternal life that we're declaring. Not baptism, not church membership, not getting straightened out, not getting busy doing something for God. It's eternal life that we're offering to people. Declaring the doctrine of God. What do you mean? I mean not a Romans road that leaves somebody asking Jesus to save them that doesn't even know who Jesus is. You teach them the truth. You give them God's word. You tell them what God says about his Son. why his son came, who his son was, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his blood atonement, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. You give them God's truth, all of it. Not just the parts you think will be sufficient to get them to pray some prayer real quick. Okay? And then work the works of God. Listen, you look around the room tonight, and I'll tell you what, if there's anybody here tonight that you witnessed to, they didn't come when you witnessed to them. They didn't come when you told them the truth. They didn't come when you told them what God said about eternal life. But many of them came after months and years of dinners and shared chores and burden bearing and driving their kids to school and picking them up when their car broke down. When they saw you work the works of God, it made them listen. It made them pay attention to the doctrine of God that they heard you teach. Now watch what Jesus says. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Do you see that? "As my Father hath sent me." Why did the Father send the Son into the world? We saw it very clearly. We saw it plainly. So what has Jesus Christ asked us to do? Go out into that world for the same purpose, the same reason, with the same heart, the same attitude, the same submissive spirit. He asks us to go out into that world at his bidding, the same way that he came into this world, at the Father's bidding. We are witnesses, yeah. But are we witnesses unto Jesus Christ? Everything we do is a witness. Our clothes, our actions, our attitudes, our manner of speaking, our tone of voice, the way that we live, the way we conduct ourselves, that's all a witness. But are we sending ourselves out? Is Brother Bob sending us out? Is some feeling of guilt the reason we go out? Is some obligation to, well, I've got to do something for God this week, sending us out? Or are we being sent into the world by Jesus in the same way that Jesus was sent into the world by the Father? I think that's something we need to deal with in prayer before God. Amen. There was a day in the lives of some when a message like this would be shouting ground because it was a reality in our lives. Well, Jesus has not changed in his commission. The Lord keeps pleading over and over again the message that we hear in this place. Quit being a used-to-do-that Christian, you know, and we need to respond. We need to respond, and we need to examine ourselves and make sure, God, it's great. I'm trying to do my best to go out. I'm trying the best I can to talk to people. I'm doing the best I can to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but he wants us to go forth as Jesus went forth. And that's his will for our lives. God, help us to take this word to heart this evening and apply it in the next year. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that you showed us very clearly in your word, without a doubt, there is a commission. There is something you would have us to do. As you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, into the world and all the things that he was expected to do, Lord, he sends us to do the same, that people might be saved. Lord, help us not to make excuses. Help us not to make up doctrines that say the commission is for somebody else. Well, Lord, help us to understand by your Holy Spirit and by your very clear words in the Holy Scriptures that you do have an expectation for us to live our lives in a way that would attract people to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might believe on him and be saved. Help us to be instrumental in that while we're in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.